And I felt like that was good. Let's give it up for the band. I think that was, man. Give honor to where honor is due. That song was showed up on YouTube/Facebook, I think about 2 weeks ago. And our band is able to practice and rehearse that in a week and a half and rock that out. I love our church that we're able to bring that to you tonight. And I hope that you were singing hallelujah about the birth of our Savior. What a great rendition. Over the last several weeks, we started a new series at Genesis Metro called Greater Than, knowing it would culminate here on Christmas Eve. For those of you that weren't here or able to hear those other sermons, they're out there online, and it's been a great series for us. And tonight we're going to be talking about how Jesus is greater than. He's greater than whatever you want to put after it. He's greater than that. And so tonight, that's some of the things we want to focus on. And we're gonna be doing it through a creative way tonight. I know that if your household is like my household, I know that we all kind of watch Christmas classics. Anybody else, by show of hands, Christmas classics, into that kind of stuff? Yeah? Some favorite movies. And tonight, I thought we'd look at some Christmas characters. And the great thing about, you know, movies is when you watch it, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah. And all Christmas characters in every great Christmas classic, they all had flaws, right? They all had something that they were missing. And I kind of wanted us to look at those characters, and maybe we'll see a little bit of a reflection of us. And then at the end of this evening's message, I want us to look at Jesus and how he's the ultimate answer to whatever situation that we find ourselves in. And so without further ado, we're going to look at this first character. If you would, does everybody know who this guy is? Anybody? Just go ahead and yell it out there. What? Clark Griswold, that's right. And Clark had a problem. I want to show you what his problem was. Go ahead and put it up there. Idealism. Does everybody remember how Clark wanted to have the perfect holiday? Does everybody remember this? You remember this the particular scene? He's talking to his wife in bed. This is at the kind of the beginning of the movie, and all the family hasn't shown up yet. And maybe some of you are like that. You know, your D-Day is soon upon you, right? Family are getting ready to show up. And she was talking to him, and she said, Clark, do you think that you ever, like, build things up to be too great? I mean, like, just you're setting like this impossible standard of like a utopia Christmas family moment, and maybe sometimes you overshoot the mark and then you're disappointed. And you guys remember what he said? He's like, no, I don't think I do that at all. And really, in every aspect of Clark's life, that's exactly what he did. And we have several instances in the movie where he did this. Do you guys remember when he put the lights together? Does everybody remember that? I mean, like, all the families out there on the lawn. He's like, drum roll, please. And like, just, you know, everybody's out there. And he puts them together and what? Nothing. And he's sitting there, he's so disappointed. And then, like, they're sitting at the Christmas table, and they cut into the turkey, and does everybody remember? Oh, just terrible, right? And you got the crazy aunt that's singing the Pledge of Allegiance for the grace, and she's so confused. And then at the end, what was he waiting on for the culmination of the movie? What was he waiting on that didn't come? His Christmas bonus. He was going to put the pool in, fly the whole family out. And as I was thinking about Clark, I really thought about this, that Clark had this mindset, right, that if he created the perfect environment, he'd get the perfect result. And that's the ultimate flaw of idealism, is that, let me ask you this question. Have you created the perfect life that has no problems? Because I haven't figured out how to do that. And the Bible says that as sin entered into the world due to Adam and Eve, that as a result, there's going to be problems. So if you are a person that's constantly faces these points where you're disappointed, could it possibly be that you're trying to live out this perfect life inside of a sin-filled world? And maybe we could adjust and calibrate, and maybe the gift that God could give you tonight is perspective. And that just because we create perfect situations doesn't mean that we always get perfect results. And so tonight I'm gonna point you to a place at the end of this message that will never disappoint you. And a quick spoiler alert, the name is Jesus. That whenever you embrace a relationship with Jesus, you are never going to be disappointed. Number two, we'll look at this guy. Who is this guy? Just shout it out if you know who this is. Scrooge. And what was his problem? Anybody? Kids? Anybody? What? He was greedy. That was right. And so he was consumed with what? Gathering stuff. He said, man, if I could get enough stuff, that will define my life. And ultimately, one would assume that if you're chasing after something, that you believe that that something, when it's obtained, will bring you satisfaction, peace, fulfillment, whatever it is you're looking for. And then when you watch this movie and you watch it unfold, that goes to Christmas past and present and future, they take him through and they really examine his life. And as he goes through, he kind of has some revelations. And his turning point was these revelations. And one of the revelations was that he realized that he had missed out on life. How terrible would it be to get to the end and realize that you had not yet really lived? Another realization was that his actions had consequences. Remember, he goes to the Cratchit house and he's outside and he's observing and he sees Tiny Tim with his crutch and he doesn't realize that he's actually starving his employee to the point that his son is going to pass away. Unintended consequences of his actions. And then finally, the cherry on the sundae is the ghost of Christmas future takes him to his grave. And he looks at his grave and he's unmourned. And nobody at the end of his life cared that he was gone. You know, I think a lot of us always could use a healthy dose of self-reflection. Because sometimes we get so consumed with stuff. And I don't think that anybody in here is a Scrooge. But it's all great characters are exaggerations of truth, right? And so I think the truth is that we all get busy and we get distracted by things of lesser value. And if we're not careful, we too miss out on life, worried more about ourselves than about others. And Jesus was the opposite in every form and fashion. He cared more about others in every moment of his life than he did about his own comfort. What a great lesson for us tonight. Number three, the anti-Scrooge. Does anybody know who this is? Old school, George Bailey. Where did he live? Anybody? Bedford Falls, that's right. We'll put his up there. He struggled with meaning. So Scrooge was self-absorbed. When we look at George Bailey, he struggled with meaning in his own life. He thought that if he was erased from time, no one would care. And he failed to realize how important his life actually was. Wouldn't it be sad if there were people sitting in this audience tonight, this Christmas Eve, and you really felt on the inside, maybe nobody else even knows, but on the inside, like your life had no meaning. George Bailey got to the point that he got on the side of a bridge and he's ready to jump because he thinks that the pain of life and the loss that he's experienced in his business is too great to bear. And that's when the guy comes, the angel, and says, wait a minute, let's look at your life. Let's really look at it and see what life would look like without your existence. You see, he had saved his younger brother when he was drowning one day. And then his brother subsequently saved a bunch of people in the war. And then his wife doesn't recognize him. And then the house that he had built and bought, that he had complained about earlier in the movie, didn't even exist. And he realizes through this picture of his life, this perspective that was given to him, that his life actually had meaning, and it wasn't wrapped up in his business that failed. Because at the end of the life, he comes in and he realizes that because he's defaulted by this accident that occurred, his uncle lost the money, and so he's going to go to jail. But now he's realized that even though he's going to jail, he's happy because he gets his life back. And he walks into the savings and he goes, Merry Christmas, I'm going to jail. Who cares, you know? He's just glad to be back. And then everybody in the town comes in and helps pitch in to save him. And his long-lost friend comes in and saves his savings and loan. And then a guy slaps him on the back and says, Merry Christmas, George Bailey. You're the richest man I know. And he wasn't rich in money. He was rich in friends, and he was rich in family. I just want to encourage you during this Christmas season to realize that your meaning in life is wrapped in relationships. And the relationships in your family are far more important than your relationship to stuff. But supremely and uniquely, your value is wrapped in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the greater your connection to Jesus Christ, I promise you this, the greater your life will be. Irrespective of the stuff that you gather, irrespective of whether or not you're ever famous in this world. Because I promise you, on the other side of the grave, all that will matter is how you related to Jesus Christ. The last one I want to show you is one that we're all familiar with. Kids, who's that guy? The Grinch, that's right. And the Grinch did some naughty things, didn't he? Does anybody remember some of the things he did? What did he do? Go ahead. He threw Cindy Lou Who down the drain. What else did he do? Does anybody remember? What? He stole Christmas. He stole all the presents and the tree, didn't he? That was so bad. Does everybody agree? Raise your hand if the Grinch was naughty, if you think he was naughty. Okay. He was on the naughty list. Yes, he was. I want us to think about the Grinch. The main problem that caused him to do all these things is he had a heart problem. Does everybody remember? His heart was how many sizes too small? Two. His heart was two sizes too small. So he had a love problem, right? He didn't have the ability to love, and so he was mean to all the people around him. And the only person that was willing to show him love was who? Cindy Lou Who. And he pushed her away. He threw her down the drain, didn't he? And I thought, man, the Grinch was constantly sabotaging his life. And I thought, man, do we ever do that? Do we ever take the people that are trying to love us the most? Even sometimes our parents are trying to help us, but we want to do what we want to do. We don't want to listen to our parents. Or maybe it's church and someone's trying to point us down the right path, but because of some of the things that we grow comfortable with, maybe in our sin or in addiction or whatever it may be, maybe just, you know, we like the way our life is, and why make it bothersome with getting involved in God's work? And so we'd rather, you know, just have the comfortable of doing nothing. And the people that love us the most, we sometimes, people that are in here, we push them away. And even I thought about with Jesus, why would we repel God's love? Because I think sometimes we realize if we received all of God's love, if we received all of who Jesus Christ was, that it would come into conflict with some of our habits, some of our hang-ups, some of our shortcomings. And so we want Jesus, but we want him at arm's length. And so I encourage you not to think about this, that at the end of the day, the Grinch's heart, as a result of receiving the love that Cindy Lou Who gave him, it grew three sizes, and it was more than enough. But I encourage you to think about this. If you have a problem showing emotion, and I know some of you, you walked in here and during the song service, maybe honestly you were a little Grinch-like, right? Everybody else was singing and you were like, stoic man, I'm impervious to emotion and feeling, right? That's exactly what Grinch said. He's like, oh, someone help me, I'm feeling. And so I want you to think about that for a moment. When you get to the end of your life, you're not going to say like, man, I'm glad I never showed my love and appreciation for those around me. I sure am glad I held all that in and bottled it in and never told people how much I cared and how much I loved. I sure am glad I never worshiped God openly and freely. That's not how you're going to feel about life. I encourage you to think about this, that if you received Christ, and maybe some of you have received Christ, but your connection has grown cold, that if you were to allow him to come and invade your life and invade your space and invade your comfort tonight, how that the answer or the response is that he fills our life with joy and peace and purpose. Of what value is that to you tonight? That Jesus Christ could grow your capacity to share love and to be loved in the relationships that matter the most. I want to finish with reading the Christmas story out of Matthew 1. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I thought about this man named Jesus, and I thought, when you think of his birth, how impossible and inconceivable it was. I mean, that a virgin would conceive, impossible. And that if you were to consider God entering into this world and allowing his son to step out of his throne in heaven to come down to the earth beneath, that the creator would become part of creation, if you were to imagine how you would introduce your son if you were God Almighty, you would be tempted, I'm sure, like me, to introduce him into a palace, right? I mean, he's born with a crown and surrounded by royalty. I mean, that's only birth fitting for God Almighty enrobed in human form. And yet Christ was born in a manger, in a cave, in the most lowly place possible. When you consider that, I thought, why did God do it that way? If you read Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, it says that it was humiliating for Christ, for God, to become a human. And it was that humility that was a reflection of God's character, that God says that those things that are humbled shall be exalted. And that because Christ humbled himself and even was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, it says, wherefore, because of his humiliation, because of his humility that he demonstrated in his birth all the way through his death, that because of that, Christ is to be exalted and given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. So he was impossibly born so that he could do the impossible. And at every stage of life in which impossible was presented to him, he demonstrated that he was how he was born. He was able to do the impossible. The man born blind, bring him to me. The little girl that had passed away, oh, she's not dead, she's just asleep. Lazarus has been in the grave 4 days. Roll away the stone. You see, I don't know what situation you're in tonight. And I don't know how impossible it may feel, how impossible it may seem. But I can tell you this, that there was a baby born in a manger some 2,000 years ago in a little town called Bethlehem. And that a 700-year-old prophecy came to pass just like God said it would. That he brought Jesus into this world in an impossible way. And then he died an impossible death. And then he rose again in an impossible fashion. So I don't care what it is you're going through in life, if you want to know who is greater than the situation that you're in, and who can get you out, who can bring you back, who can raise it up, all of those answers are Jesus Christ. Our band is going to come out and lead us in a time of worship, and we're going to be doing a candlelight part of the service. So if you guys would stand and prepare your candles, our ushers are going to be coming through at the end of the aisle, and we're going to ask you to take the flame that is given to you and pass it on to the person that is next to you, and that you would join with us as we worship our Savior.